If you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning with me. 1 Peter chapter 2, excited to dig into God's Word together. 1 Peter chapter 2. Title of the message this morning is Only the Best. Only the Best. If you're like me, when you were growing up, one of your favorite things as a child, and it was one of my favorite things, was being able to get a special cereal. Now, growing up in a home where we weren't exactly overly wealthy, name brand cereal was known to us as the cereal that we passed by on the aisle on the way to the not name brand cereal. It was always funny when someone would ask us if we had had a certain kind of cereal, and I was like, you know, it sounds vaguely familiar, but the one I have had sounds just a little bit different. You know, instead of Cocoa Pebbles, we had Cocoa Nuggets. Or instead of Fruit Loops, we had Fruit Spins. Instead of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, we had Bunch-O Cinnamon Squares. Instead of Trix, we had Pranks. Very original name on that one. Instead of Cheerios, we had Toasted Holes. We had all the imitations that in essence, were the exact same thing. They were just cheaper, both in price and in quality. But the thing that we knew is that we enjoyed what we had, and if we had never known about the other things that were better than name brands, maybe we would have not known to not appreciate them as much. It's interesting, though, as Christians, we have the opportunity to enjoy only the best in God's Word. In the passage we're going to look at this morning, I'm going to tell you right from the beginning what the key truth that we see here is, and I want us to consider that as we go throughout this. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, what Peter is trying to get across here is he is imploring the believer to have a true longing for God's Word. A longing for God's Word that realizes that it is only the best. It is the best thing that you can go to learn, to grow, to be able to develop as a Christian. If you can look with me in these three verses, we'll read them, we'll pray, and then we'll get started as we look at this passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, as we look at the topic of your word, I pray you to give all of us a passion to study your word, to be in it, to hold it dear to us, to realize that everything else going on around us that can distract us and can draw us in is really just a very, very poor substitute for what we can see and learn in your word. Help us to realize that the only true way to get to know you and our relationship with you is you speaking to us through your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us a desire to go to that sincere milk of the word, that sincere, pure truth that we can only find in it. Pray that you guide our time this morning. I pray that you would help us to be able to be as distraction-free as possible. Lord, that as we consider how important your word is to you, as you have given it to us, Lord, that we would take it seriously as well. And Lord, that we would learn some truths this morning that maybe we've heard before that would be refreshed in our minds, or maybe for the first time, that we leave here with a new love and desire to be in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we get into 1 Peter here. And the first word of the first verse here in chapter 2 is wherefore. Maybe you've heard the phrase before. One of my college professors said this very regularly. Is whenever you see a wherefore or a therefore, you always need to ask the question, well, what is it therefore? Because what it's doing is it's pointing us back more often than not. It's taking us back to what was just previously discussed in order to set up what is about to be discussed. So let's look back into chapter 1 and kind of set the stage for where we're at here in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, after his introduction and some beginning thoughts here, talking about prayer and different topics, in verse 13 through 21 is Peter's call to the believers that he is writing to that are spread out. He's calling them to pursue holiness, and that pursuit of holiness comes as a result of their salvation. The idea being that as we enter into that relationship with the Lord, when we give our lives to Him, that then our desire turns from living for ourselves, it then in turn goes to living for the Lord. So looking at verse 13, Peter makes this challenge. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This call for holiness that Peter is giving is not new. He's quoting Scripture here when he says, be ye holy, as I am holy. This is something that would have been known to the believers that he is writing to. That was not something strange to them. Hopefully it's known to us this morning. The call to pursue holiness as a result of our salvation. And he goes on to discuss how it is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that we have that salvation, that we can then pursue holiness. We then get down to verse 22 and through verse 25. What really I would see as the true thing that it is being pointed back to here in our passage, as it directly precedes it, verses 23 through 25 say this: seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. What Peter is getting across in these couple of verses is that challenge again that we see so often throughout the New Testament writings. To this early church that is just getting started, the call to love one another. And ultimately to love one another as we are loving God first and foremost as individuals. Peter is explaining that a true understanding of God's love comes from knowing Him and from knowing Him by being in His Word. He sets the stage, therefore, with that as we get into chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. The first thing that we see here that is presented, wherefore laying aside all these things that he then lists. What exactly should the Christian actively be laying aside? The Christian that is pursuing holiness. The Christian that is desiring to love one another as they seek God. What exactly are we to be laying aside? Well, he lists five different things here in verse 1. He says, malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speakings. Now, some of these might seem apparent, and they might be easy to understand, but some of these words, exactly what is being referred to here? Malice would be that idea, that mentality of purposely deciding, desiring, trying to hurt those around you. Means you're actively pursuing to do something wrong, not necessarily in a physical sense, but through your words, through your actions, to destroy someone else. Means laying traps, trying to catch them in something, doing anything you can to hurt them. Malice is a very serious sin. And then guile and hypocrisy are two very similar things. Both are speaking to when you act one way in front of someone and then act a completely different way behind their back. You talk really nice to someone that you see, whether it be a Christian or a non-Christian. You're very kind to their face, but as soon as they're gone, they're away from you, you begin to talk behind their back about them. You begin to tear them down in front of others. What about envies? This is when you are jealous of others' success. their possessions, their family, their friends, what they have in life, what they don't have to deal with in life. You begin to grow envious of what they have and you don't. It's that mentality where you're always comparing yourself to someone else. And then what about evil speakings? This is talking about someone so as to hurt their testimony. It goes even more specific than the guile and hypocrisy that was just mentioned. This is you trying your best to hurt them. It really builds upon the malice as well. All of these together, all of these are sowing the seeds of strife and discord that are talked about in the Bible. In James chapter 4, when it is talked about the sins and the difficulties that they're facing, and don't they even come from your own lust? This is what is being discussed here by Peter. All of these attitudes, though we might identify them as issues, remember the context of who Peter is writing to. He is writing to believers in their relationship with other believers. You might think, I hope I'm not acting that way around my unsaved friends and family, but you would hope that most of all, none of these descriptions would describe us as Christians in our relationship with one another. Augustine summarized these in this way. He said, "Malice delights in another's hurt. Envy pines at another's good. Guile imparts duplicity to the heart. Hypocrisy or flattery imparts duplicity to the tongue. Evil speakings wound the character of another." Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 31 through 32. Peter, talking in this book, in 1 Peter, addresses this issue. Paul also did not shy away from discussing the importance of our speech and our actions in relationship to one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32, he says this, after he sets the stage with making sure we are not grieving the Holy Spirit. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Folks, the idea that Peter is trying to get across, that Paul is also discussing in Ephesians, that we see all throughout Scripture, is that none of these attitudes, none of these actions, none of these mentalities should describe a believer. And especially should not describe a believer's actions with one another and how we are trying to demonstrate our true love for one another. Remember, we just looked at, in verses 22 through 25, how Peter is imploring the believers to love one another and have a true love for one another that goes beyond what the world would even understand. And therefore, he's saying we need to lay aside all of these actions. We need to make sure we are putting off these mentalities and these thoughts and these things that just tear us apart. Folks, nothing can bring us apart more quickly than ourselves from within. Nothing can tear a church apart quicker than if there are seeds of discord, there are people that are talking about one another, and we're deciding that we care more about ourselves than we do about those around us, essentially going exactly against what Peter is trying to say at the end of chapter 1 in loving one another. But folks, we need to understand something here in the context of this passage, that though it is important to lay aside these different actions and mentalities, the main goal of a believer is not to lay aside these actions and these attitudes. What Peter is trying to emphasize here in this passage is what we see in the next couple verses. Laying aside these mentalities is a natural byproduct of doing what we see in verses 2 and 3. And what we see there is the importance of having a genuine passion for God's word. Verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." We just looked at putting off all these things, but by doing so, it's showing that we are doing it as this illustration given as newborn babes. So why here the comparison to a newborn baby? Is Peter saying that for you new Christians, for those of you that are young in the faith, this is specifically for you? No, it applies to them, but it also applies to every single one of us, regardless of the length of time that we have been saved. It's a mentality here, not necessarily referring to the time frame of salvation. The emphasis is on the newborn's need for milk compared to a believer's need for truth. Think about a newborn baby. Their number one desire is for milk. Their number one desire is to be fed. I think all of us could relate to some point about wanting to be fed. When we're hungry, we're not exactly happy either. A baby, that's all they know. Their sole focus and sole desire is to be fed by that milk, to be nourished, and they want the pure milk. They want to have the good stuff. They don't want anything that is not true and pure. Folks, as believers, our desire should be for the pure milk of God's Word. This milk that is talked about, when it says sincere here, the sincere milk of the Word, it's that pure, uncontaminated truth of God's words to us. Realize in the context that Peter is writing to here, that back in Bible times, they didn't have refrigeration. They didn't have the ability to keep things like milk or perishable foods for a very long time. And what would have been a serious issue, it could be still today, but it's not as prevalent, is that when things go bad and you try to eat them, it's contaminated. It's not pure. It's not good. It could be very damaging to you. By Peter using the word here, that sincere milk of the word, that pure, that good, the only the best stuff, so we could say, of God's word compared to the mentalities of the word, of the world. Look back in what we just saw in 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25, as Peter just discussed the importance of God's word. It says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How many things do we know of that are here for a short time, but then they disappear, whether they lose their value, or if it's a food item, it just naturally goes bad? The word of God abides forever. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. If we're supposed to be focusing on truth, where are we going to find our truth? The pure, uncontaminated truth. John 17, 17 says, to sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. In a world and in a society where truth is relatively, seemingly unknown, where everyone is claiming to tell you the truth and this is factual and this is factual, or somebody saying, no, this is not a fact and this is not a fact, this is an opinion. We're all trying to find out what truth is. I can't tell you what is true out there or not. What I can tell you for sure is that the only true source of truth is found right here in God's Word. The only place that I can guarantee you can go to every time and never be led astray, never be given an opinion or a thought, but only truth is in God's Word. And folks, as Christians, when we're being surrounded with all of these lies and opinions and possible facts and whatever it is, we should be so grounded in God's Word in order to learn truth that we should never want to leave God's Word. We should never want there to be a substitute for what we are taking in apart from God's Word. But what is the byproduct of this? When we are seeking God's Word, when we have that mentality of that newborn baby that is seeking that milk, and we as believers are seeking that, what comes as a result of that? End of verse 2, after we desire the sincere milk of the word, it says, that ye may grow. In order to grow, we need to be in God's word. Turn over one book to 2 Peter and his next epistle here. In 2 Peter, verses 5 through 8 in chapter 1, we see an emphasis here by Peter on growing, about continually adding to what we have learned. Verse 5 says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." He echoes this again at the end of the book in chapter 3 and verse 18, where he says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Folks, if we want to grow in our knowledge of God, where should we go to get that knowledge? There's many different sources. There's many different people. There's many different outlets where we can gain an understanding of God. But folks, if it is not grounded in, if it is not focused on God's words to us, it is not the pure, uncontaminated truth that we should be seeking after. Folks, our desires should be to grow in God's word. Our desires should be to grow closer to him and in our knowledge of him so that we are never satisfied with where we are at. But I want to ask you, I think we all know what it is like to go through time periods in our life where we have had a really good relationship with the Lord, where we've been digging into his word. But then when, for whatever reason, something takes place in our life that we kind of forget to spend time with him. We neglect his word. We step away from the sincere milk of the word. For whatever reason, for some of us, it's different things. Maybe it's a day or a couple days, or it goes on for a long period of time. Folks, what can keep us coming back to his word? What can keep us coming back to that relationship that we are to have with him? Verse 3 says this, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Why are we going to desire the sincere milk of the word? And why are we going to want to grow? It's because we are reflecting on the sincere experience, the true experience that we have had with God in the past. And if nothing else, we are looking back to that moment of salvation. But folks, Scripture is so clear about the sweetness of the experience that we can have with God. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Psalm 16, 11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Just hearing the psalmist talk about that in those two verses, and there's so many other examples of this, it gives the idea of something that you never want to leave. Or that if you do, and you are separated for a time, that you want to come right back. Folks, are we experiencing that level of sweetness and that level of desire in our relationship with God? Do we love God's word? Do we love him enough to continue to come back to him? What ultimately, regardless of our life experiences, what ultimately can we as Christians go back to as a point of reference where we have all experienced God's grace and God's mercy and God's love for us? Folks, that moment is that moment of salvation. Ultimately, the point that we all go back to, that we should as believers to consider, why should we continue to develop in our relationship with God, is because he has saved us. The only reason we can continue to understand what true love is because we know that we love him because he first loved us. Folks, God's word is full of so much truth. God's word is full of so many different things that we can apply to our lives. But the most important thing that we can see in Scripture is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that salvation is freely offered to all who will believe. Folks, every person here this morning is in one of two camps. Either you have accepted that free gift of salvation, acknowledging you cannot save yourself, and you have acknowledged that he is the only Savior that can save you, and you are on your way to heaven. Or folks, you're here this morning, you have not accepted that gift of salvation, and you are lost. You are still living in your sins. Realize that if you are in that situation, that salvation is freely offered to you. And it's free not because it costs nothing. It's free because Jesus Christ paid the price. It cost us absolutely nothing. We need to do nothing because we can do nothing to save ourselves. But Jesus came to this earth because he loved us, sent by his Father who loved us so much to die on a cross, to shed his blood in order to save us from our sins. And he did that before we even knew what it meant to love him. Folks, if you're in that position this morning, I pray that you do not leave here without talking to someone about how that salvation can be applied to you. Folks, I pray that your desire is to not leave here without knowing you are in a relationship with God. But folks, as we consider this passage this morning, I want to ask you, Christian, are you desiring the sincere milk of the Word? When you wake up in the morning, is your first thought to go to God's Word? Or is your first thought to check your phone? Or is your first thought to check the news and to start off the day depressed? Is your first thought to go to God and to taste and see the sweetness and the joy that can be seen in his Word? Folks, God wants to have that close relationship with you. God wants to see you grow and to grow in a way that really the world could never understand or comprehend. Do we love God's Word? And as we are loving God's Word, as we're growing in it, do we see the attitudes that were mentioned in verse 1 of guile and hypocrisy and envy and evil speakings and malice? Do we see those dissipate and disappear from our life? Because we realize they have no place in the life of a believer that is sold out for God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Lord, I thank you that we can be here this morning because of your Word, because of your love for us, and that we can open God's Word, and that these are not my words this morning. I pray they're a reflection of what we see in this passage. Lord, I pray that as we all look at our lives and we see what defines our lives, that we would consider if it is truly a love for you, a love for your Son that died in our place, or is the focus on ourselves? Is the focus on what we can get out of every situation and relationship? Lord, I pray we would be in your Word daily, every moment of every day, that we'd be meditating on it, that we'd be memorizing your Word, that it would fill our thoughts at all times, that others would know that our number one concern and our number one desire is you. Lord, I thank you that we have access to your Word. We don't have to guess what you have said to us. We have it right here in front of us. Lord, help us to desire it, to be in it, to be able to grow. And Lord, that we would do so as we reflect on the amazing joy and sweetness of the experiences we have had with you in your grace. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship together. In Jesus' name.